This is the evening edition of the latest from Starcom Network News. In the headlines, the nighttime curfew extended for 2 more weeks. Government warns of criminal penalties for fake vaccine certificates or PCR tests. The private sector warns it may eventually mandate that employees get vaccinated. Barbados Light and Power reports power fully restored 3 weeks after Hurricane Elsa. And the Tokyo Olympics officially open. With your details, I'm Carol Toppin. Prime Minister Mia Amor-Motley has announced that the nighttime curfew will be extended for a further 2 weeks, but there will be no further lockdown. Ms. Motley was speaking at a COVID-19 and post-hurricane media briefing, where it was disclosed that the positivity rate has come down since the initial spike.
We continue to be concerned, but it is not a situation, as I indicated 2 days ago, that requires any further lockdown. We will hold the curfew for another 2 weeks, and the Attorney General has already drafted the directive for me.
The Prime Minister also announced that there will be criminal penalties for anyone presenting fake vaccine certificates or PCR tests.
Only other change in the directive is going to be a requirement that any person presenting fraudulent documents to any official of the government of Barbados, whether it be a fraudulent PCR test or whether it be a fraudulent vaccine certificate, will be subject to penalties within the criminal justice system. I believe that it will be subject to a $100,000 fine as well as a maximum of 2 years in prison.
The Prime Minister says Barbados will be conducting post-entry audits of arrival and will be working with the relevant governments to verify the information. Ms. Motley criticized what she indicated was anti-vaccine fake news and urged people to get vaccinated while noting that none of the patients in primary or secondary isolation had been vaccinated. She also disclosed that more vaccines are expected to arrive next month. Meantime, Health Minister Lieutenant Colonel Jeffrey Bostick said that aggressive contact tracing has produced results, with more than 7,000 people being tested after the recent spike. He says despite the recent increase in cases, the positivity rate remains low. Colonel Bostick also stressed that testing at the airport had not been discontinued despite positive tests there.
We did about 1,675 tests between last night and this morning because we had a large number of persons coming into the country and a large number of persons who had to be tested as a result of contact tracing. 11 positives, 6 males, 5 females. I hope that this will end the social media information that has been circulated suggesting that there was no testing or testing was discontinued at the Grantley Adams International Airport yesterday. That is obviously not true.
The health minister stressed the importance of vaccinations as he spoke of critically ill COVID-19 patients who were all unvaccinated.
None of the persons in primary and secondary isolation are vaccinated. And regrettably, a significant number of those persons, well, perhaps 14, 15, 16 persons, had to be oxygenated. They're either on CPAP machines or receiving some form of oxygen because of their symptomatic conditions. And I would take this opportunity once again to ask Barbadians who have not taken a vaccine at this point in time to do so, because it is important that you do so.
Meantime, in an earlier interview with Starcom Network News, Chief Medical Officer Dr. Kenneth George disclosed that the news was looking positive for resumption of the postponed second one-day international West Indies versus Australia in Barbados, as COVID-19 tests of the team and support staff have come back negative. The match was postponed shortly before its scheduled start at Kensington Oval yesterday afternoon after the West Indies team manager tested positive.
All members of the team have been retested. That swabbing took place yesterday evening, and the results look good, but I am now going to make an official comment, but the results look quite good. Those would be officially communicated to both teams, and then they will make the appropriate decision. And the contact tracing also involved a few persons from the hotel, and those persons have also been tested.
Dr. George also disclosed that there have been 4 positive tests of personnel at Grantley Adams International Airport, but replacement staff have been deployed.
The Ministry of Health has put together alternative arrangements to make sure that persons who have been deemed to be at risk, that they be placed in quarantine and there is sufficient replacement staff, both for swabbing, for nursing and clerical staff, to run a successful operation at the airport. Remember that we expect a lot of visitors this weekend. It's Saturday and Sunday coming up, and therefore we will be required to have adequate staff coverage, and we're working to make sure that that is provided.
That's Chief Medical Officer Dr. Kenneth George. This country's business sector has again served notice that it may eventually have to mandate that employees get vaccinated, especially if they are to work in certain areas. The point has been reinforced by Chairman of the Barbados Private Sector Association, Edward Clark, who also indicates that this should apply to the private and public sectors. He was speaking on VOB's Brass Tacks program.
At some time, you have to regulate your business requirements. Who can enter your business? Who can come to work in your business? And you can do it by who can enter your business. You have the right to set requirements to enter your business. The regulation of employees, I've heard of a lot of people say that's a change in the employment contract. We have to ask, also, you have to protect your own workforce, your workplace. So we have a clash. So the only way to prevent the continuing doubt about what is the solution or what is a legal solution is let it be tested.
Meantime, attorney at law Michelle Russell warns that, in her opinion, trying to force employees to get vaccinated is against the law.
When you start to say vaccination or regular negative PCR tests, you are, number one, breaching the law, which I'm going to get into. And number two, you're putting an employee between a rock and a hard place, kind of strong-armed into saying, you know what, at least vaccine-free, let me go and do it. But they're not doing it of their own free will. They're doing it because they're afraid that if they don't, they'll be subject to disciplinary action.
Ms. Russell argues that the main issue isn't the vaccination status of staff, but lax protocols within businesses. Acting General Secretary of the National Union of Public Workers, Wayne Walren, insists that workers shouldn't be coerced to get vaccinated.
I still have a strong view that workers should have that choice of option to vaccinate or not to vaccinate. It should be encouraged. Yes, it should be encouraged. But at this stage, I wouldn't say that workers should be forced into vaccination or face any punitive action as a result of not taking vaccination.
Acting General Secretary of the National Union of Public Workers, Wayne Waldron. The Barbados Light and Power reports full restoration of power to its customers after the passage of Hurricane Elsa 3 weeks ago. Director of Operations Johan Graves made the disclosure during a media conference. He added that customers whose houses were damaged, their electricity would be restored once repairs were completed.
I'm glad to report that as of today, we have completed restoration of customers impacted by Hurricane Elsa who were fit to be restored that we were aware of. Now, as you may well recall, the Department of Emergency Management shared some information indicating that over 100 houses had been damaged and were in need of repairs, and therefore they are not in a position to receive electricity at this point in time. Once those repairs are completed, they will need to be inspected by the Government Electrical Engineering Department before supply can be restored again.
And finally, the honor fell to Naomi Osaka to light the flame, which marked the official opening of Tokyo 2020 a year later than planned. Speaking during the Olympics opening ceremony, President of the International Olympic Committee, Thomas Bach, noted it was very different than had been imagined, but urged everyone to cherish the moment. We get an update from ABC News.
The 2020 Olympics are finally underway in Tokyo after being delayed for a year because of the coronavirus pandemic. These opening ceremonies were unlike any in the past, with no fans in attendance. Only about 950 people were allowed in the stands, including government officials, VIPs, and foreign dignitaries. Among them, First Lady Jill Biden and French President Emmanuel Macron. France is set to host the next Summer Olympics in 2024. The parade of nations included athletes from 205 countries marching.
Recapping the headlines. The nighttime curfew extended for 2 more weeks. Government warns of criminal penalties for fake vaccine certificates or PCR tests. The private sector warns it may eventually mandate that employees get vaccinated. Barbados Light and Power reports power fully restored 3 weeks after Hurricane Elsa. And the Tokyo Olympics officially open. You've been listening to the evening edition from Starcom Network News. I'm Carol Toppin.